It's a top selector.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is Maestro Amilcar, Amil. It is Wednesday. And yo, it's been a long day, at least for me. A lot of work. I'm sure if you're out there on the West Coast, just after 2 o'clock, you're still working here. It's live at 5. Obviously, this is the Leave It in the Ring live at 5 boxing show where we talk boxing Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. If you're out in the UK, it's what? It's 10 p.m. GMT. So I'm sure you had a long, long day out there too. And if you're live here joining me, thank you very much. If you're listening on the Leave It in the Network radio area, radio network. Sorry, let me say that again. Leave It in the Ring radio network, founded by the one and only Dave Duenas. Thank you for listening to, whether it's on iHeart, whether it's on Pandora, whether it is on iTunes or anywhere else. Live at 5. So today, I had a topic I wanted to bring up. You know, if you listen to the sport, you often hear fighters talk about their sons and how they don't want their sons to get into boxing. And, you know, some of them do get into boxing. Then you also have guys who were never boxers who end up training their sons. And those sons can sometimes become great boxers in their own right. So I thought to myself, who are actually the best father trainers? Not just now, but in the past. And I put a little bit of a list together. I also asked a couple of my other guys to put lists together. I asked G-Funky to rap to me about it. And I actually got lists from Dave, Leave It in the Ring, where I host the show on Mondays with at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And obviously the one and only D-Style Boxing. I got his top list of best trainer that are also fighters, sorry, they're also fathers. Sorry, what's going on with me today? Like I said, it's been a long day at work. Father trainers, all right? Top three in the past, top three today, all right? That is in 2021. And I think my list might actually surprise a few people. But before we get into it, you know, why don't we just take a look at some of the great work done by some, you know, really high level father trainers in the past. And I'll just bring this up here. If you're listening live, you know, we do have video from time to time here on the show. And if you're, you know, listening on the radio network, unfortunately, you won't be able to see it, but you will be able to hear some of the audio, as long as I can obviously get it to cooperate and get it to play the way I'd like. So here we go. One of my favorite fighters growing up, trained by his father.
Fighters have their moments in a savage round number one.
Talking about the one and only Eric Morales.
Ray Torres will be our interpreter.
Okay, you need to work with him, but at the distance. Don't get in his distance. Don't get too close to him. We don't need that. You already cut him. He's cut. You got to keep pressure him. Close your eyes. Let's put some.
And obviously, that was the one and only Don Morales, giving his son his instructions. And like I said, my list of top guys might end up surprising a few people. Maybe it won't. We'll see. But there have been so many great father-son combos throughout the history of boxing that I kind of just want to get right into it. So I might as well just share right off the bat who I've selected as my top three. So I'll just do that right over here. Once again, just jump right into it. I got number one, Jose Morales, son, Eric Morales, 50 2-9, 36 KOs. Number two on my list of great father trainers from the past, the one and only Enzo Calzaghe. Son, Joe Calzaghe, 46-0, 32 KOs. The third guy I have here on the list, I almost put as my second, and it was difficult to choose between Trinidad and Calzaghe, to be honest. But I put Trinidad, the one and only Felix Felix Trinidad Sr., all right, Don Trinidad. I have him at number three. And I've also got some honorable mentions here. I had, obviously, Eduardo Garcia, trainer of Robert and Mikey Garcia. I've got Jack Mosley on my list. I've also got Yoel Judah on my list. So those are my great trainers of the past. And, you know, like I said, it's not always going to be easy to make a list because there have been so many great trainers of the past. And I'll just put my top three up here on the screen again. Those are my top three of all time. So once again, Jose Morales, Enzo Calzaghe, Felix Trinidad Sr. Those are my top three historic father trainers, guys who took their sons to great heights, not only to world championships, but kind of to all-time great status. I think that those are really special fathers, special sons, and you may disagree with the list, and I'm sure people will have other lists. I'd like people to share those in the chat if they could. But yeah, I mean, you cannot question the greatness of some of these trainers. Here's a little bit of Enzo Calzaghe working the corner for Joe.
You're making up. You're not loading nothing. You're boxing this fight, hey. You're boxing this fight. Listen to me. You ain't got no ways. Where's the A's going? You're tracking him with zooks, 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 zooks. They're not really not a pin, no jabs. There's nothing there. Listen to me now, Joe. Listen to me. Are you listening to me, Joe?
Yeah.
All right, you've got a big combination coming in. You're throwing in too slowly. You're jumping into throat. There's nothing there.
Put you behind your head.
Listen to me, Joe. Sorry, listen to me, Joe. You've got a big combination coming in. Keep it going. Throwing in too slowly. You're jumping into throat. There's nothing there.
Put you behind your head.
Listen to me, Joe.
Yep, so there we go. A little bit of Enzo Calzaghe. I think I had a little bit of a double feedback there, feedback loop. But let's see what guys are saying here in the chat. Thank you. We got Dave Dwen is here. Thank you, my man, for joining in. Kano Local Sports, always. No Pal, thank you. Run PMC's here. Bruce Goes. What's good, my man? Sonteo Media. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. And, yo, put down your list of doesn't have to be a top three. Share your numero uno, all right? Your top father trainer in the sport. And what I'll also do, as I promised I'd do in my streams here, is I'll actually drop the link in case anybody actually wants to join in on video or audio and just share in. I'm also going to invite call-ins if anyone wants to do that. And I'll open up the lines closer to 5:20 here on the East Coast. So those were my top three from the past, all right? Right now, I'm going to get into my top three present guys that I think are the top trainers. And now, father trainers. Now, I've already kind of shared through Twitter who I've selected as my number one. So that one's probably not going to be much of a surprise to anyone, but I might surprise people with my two and three as it relates to the top father trainers in the sport currently. So let me get back over here, and I'm going to share that with everyone right here. I've got number one, Shingo Inoue. All right, I've selected him as number one, first of all, off the merits of Naoya. Naoya is a monster, as his nickname indicates. And, you know, there are critics of his out there, but his greatness to me is unquestioned. And what really put Shingo over the top is that he's also got another son that's held an interim world title and boxed to a decision loss against Norbin Ubale in his only loss. And that's Takuma Inoue. All right, so Naoya's 20-0, 17 KOs. Takuma's 14-1, 3 KOs. This is going to be the controversial one because I'm sure a lot of people picked Don Lopez Sr. as their number one. I've got him at number two, okay? I've got Teofimo Lopez Jr., obviously 16-0, 12 KOs, his father, number two father trainer in the sport. Number three, and honestly, I was questioning whether I put him at number three, is Anatoly Lomachenko. His son is obviously Vasyl Lomachenko, 6-2, 10 KOs. Now, here are some of my honorable mentions. All right. Oops. Before I do that, let me get to Dave's top picks and D-Style's top picks. So before the show, I asked them for their picks. Dave Duenez, obviously the founder of the Leaving in the Ring radio network, he sent me his top three. He's got Teofimo Lopez Sr., Anatoly Lomachenko, and Chingo Inoue as his one through three. From the past, he's talking about Felix Trinidad Sr., Jose Morales, and Jack Mosley, obviously the father of Sugar Shane Mosley. And then at his honorable mention, he's put in I call this one a dark horse because I didn't even think about it, but Freddy Fundora, all right, who's obviously a present-day father trainer who's done quite some remarkable things with his son, all right? D-Style Boxing, his three were Teofimo Lopez Sr., Kenny Porter, okay, that was actually a good pick. Number two, obviously the father of Sean Porter. He's got Anatoly Lomachenko at number three, and from the past, he agreed with me. We have the same number one. It's Jose Morales, father of the one and only Eric El Terrible Morales. Forgot the accent there. Jack Mosley and Enzo Calzaghe is his number third. His honorable mention was Floyd Mayweather Sr. And I actually thought about Floyd, too. The problem with listing Floyd is simply that, did he really train his son? I mean, for most of Floyd's career, right, Floyd was actually trained by his uncle, Roger Mayweather, who was a world champion boxer in his own right. So, you know, I had Floyd Mayweather kind of lurking there as well, wondering whether I should include him or not. And what it really boiled down to for me was just the fact that Floyd Sr., while he did things with De La Hoya and while he did things with Ricky Haddon and a bunch of other fighters, he wasn't actually his son's major, like, key trainer for the majority of his son's career. That was obviously the Mamba, Roger Mayweather. Now, if you want to call in, lines are open, 347-460-1773. Once again, it's 347-460-1773. And I will also drop the link right here in the chat again in case anyone wants to come on and share their thoughts with me on this topic, or honestly on any other topic that you may have related to boxing. So look, there've been a lot of great moments in father-son training in boxing. And I got to share one right here. It's end of the 11th round. Okay. Trinidad De La Hoya. And De La Hoya is kind of running around the ring at this point. Tito's tracing him. And at the end of the round, Tito goes to the corner for some instructions from his dad.
You gotta be loose now.
Last round.
3 minutes.
That fight obviously ended up kind of controversially, and history obviously put Trinidad winning that fight. It's still a topic of discussion even today. I got D. Jefferson here. D. Jefferson, you here with us? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can hear you, brother. How you doing? I see you got a Conor McGregor there going to sleep.
Yeah. He's taking a nap, man. He's taking a nap. Got his proper 12 with him. I smashed last night.
Oh, God. Oh, you know what, D. Jefferson? We had a special guest actually calling in. I was getting some emails saying that I'd left somebody off the list, and looks like he just turned up. Give me a moment, please. We'll bring him in onto the stream, and we'll get right to you, D.
All right.
Is that... Oh! It's the one and only Ruben Guerrero Sr.
Or is it What's going on, Holmes?
What's up, Ruben?
How's it going, Mr. Guerrero?
What are we doing here, eh? What we got going on here today? I heard something here today. What's going on here, eh?
Well, the idea here was to put together a list of top three present and past father trainers. And I got to tell you, I didn't put you on the list, man.
Let me tell you something, Holmes. How are you going to make a list about father trainers in boxing, eh? You not have Mad Dog Guerrero on there, eh? What's going on here, eh?
Well, you know, Mad Dog, I don't want to get bitten or barked at. But I do think that the guys that I put on the list are deserving to be there. You're definitely one of the most entertaining father trainers in the sport of boxing. I'd probably put you up there with Danny's dad, Angel Garcia.
Yeah, for sure, Angel. Junior Lopez is quite entertaining as well.
Charlie Holmes, Angel Garcia is a chavala, eh? I punked that vato in front of everybody, man. In front of his son, in front of all his people over there in Brooklyn, eh? He's a punk, eh? He's nothing but a punk. Let me tell you something, eh? That punk D-style, I know why he kicked me out, eh? Because he's a hater, eh? He's nothing but a hater. And let me tell you something, eh? Ever since they had on that Lopez, that Teofimo Lopez on the show, eh? They done forgot about me, eh? I made those punks over there at HCP, eh? If it wasn't for me, nobody would know them, Holmes.
Matter of fact, I do remember you getting into it with Angel Garcia. Can you tell us what that was all about?
I tell you this, eh? That dude's a punk, and his son is a punk too, eh? He looks like Frankenstein with that big giant head he's got, eh? That's why my son couldn't knock him out, you know? And his dad is nothing but a punk too. I challenged him to a fight right there, eh? And he didn't want none. He didn't want none of the Mad Dog, Holmes. Because I tell you something, eh? When you walk the line like me, eh? And you walk the main yard like me, you don't have baby nuts, eh? And that little chavales got baby nuts, Holmes. You don't want none of this.
Hey guys, did you guys hear that Bill Haney stepped down as coach, as head trainer for Devin Haney?
Wow, it's not often you hear a trainer step down from coaching his son. What do you think about that, Don Guerrero?
He's another punk, eh? And he's got baby nuts. He don't want to walk the line like me, eh? I stay with my son through thick and thin, eh? And it's because of that he became a 4-time division champion, eh? 4 times, eh? And you guys left me off the list, man. What's going on?
Well, you know what? Maybe I do have to put you back on the list now that I think about it. What do you think would be a respectable position for you?
Number one, eh? I'm on
number one. Number one?
And my son is number one. Don't ever forget that, eh? He's a warrior. I taught him how to be a warrior, eh? And you've seen it every time he was in there, eh? That punk Mayweather, let me tell you something. Eh? He ran away from my son. He ran like a chicken, eh?
You're talking about Floyd?
That's right, eh? He ran from me like a chicken. And his dad ran from me like a chicken. I tried to fight him at least 2-3 times, eh? And he didn't want none, eh?
Well,
should Floyd Sr. be considered on the number one?
Charlie Holmes, he's a punk too. He's not like me. Eh? I taught my son to fight like a man, not run around like a chicken.
The reason, D, that I wouldn't put him up there on the list is because he didn't actually train his son. And one thing Mad Dog did do was train his son. You know, Floyd was trained by his uncle, Roger.
Yeah. Well, he was trained by both of them, kind of, bro. We know the story, right?
Why don't you share the story with us?
Okay, well, he was trained by both of them.
Mm-hmm.
During the split, of course, Roger Mayweather took over, and Floyd. See, I think. Sorry, I have food in my mouth. All right, I think that a lot of what Mayweather Sr. did for Floyd gets tainted because of Floyd's reaction. What Floyd said about him, you know. Roger made me. You remember when they split and everything? You know what I mean? And he accredited his uncle more than his father, but I don't know, man.
Well,
I think both of them molded Floyd. Both of them made Floyd what he is. You know, do you really think he got that shoulder roll from?
I think he probably got it from his dad, but his dad trained him as a kid and as a teenager, right? Man, what are your thoughts?
Right, so you instilled, like, that's my point. And you're right, I agree with you. So you instilled the principles, right? Like, what's mm-hmm. the first thing? Like, your footwork. We all know that's most coaches will tell you that's extremely important. You establish that. And when you have phenomenal footwork, who would be accredited for that, right? Would it be Roger or would it be more Floyd Sr.? Now, there are things, of course, that we could accredit Roger for, especially later in Floyd's career. So that's why I think that both of them kind of molded him. And then you know, they made up and everything, and Senior came back around, and then they were working in conjunction with Floyd. Because both of them had things to give to Floyd. And you could tell that it was a combination of both of those guys and then what he did himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can definitely see the molding of the styles. I can tell definitely see the molding of the styles. Before we let you go, Mad Dog, I'm talking about the one and only Ruben Guerrero. Why don't you give us some fatherly advice about how to train your son, about, you know, whether or not a father should be training his son? What does it take to be a great father trainer?
I'll tell you what it takes, eh? It takes big levels, eh, to train your son. And you got to train him to have big levels like you, eh? That's why my son always went in there and went toe-to-toe with everyone, eh? And he won 4 titles in 4 different weight classes, eh? And that's because of me, eh? I taught him how to be a man and not run like a chicken, eh? But let me give you my list before I go, eh? I give you my top 3 right now, eh? And this is not disputed. Nobody can dispute this list, eh? Number 1, Ruben Guerrero. Number 2, Ruben Mad Dog Guerrero. And number 3, Ruben Guerrero, eh? That's right, eh? The top 3 right there, eh? Nobody can deny that, eh? My son never got in there and ran from anybody, eh? They all ran from me, eh? And all their sons, their fathers ran from me, eh? Every time I tried to throw down with them, they didn't ran away from me, eh?
Well, I definitely agree with you. I do think Angel Garcia didn't really want that smoke. That much I'll agree with. Well, thank you for joining us, Mad Dog. It was a pleasure having you on. And please come back again soon.
Gracias, carnal. Let me tell you something, eh? Tell that punk D-Style I'm looking for him. And G-Funk, tell G-Funk he's okay with me. Eh? He's all right with me, but that's punk D-Style. I'm looking for him, eh? All right?
Got it.
Gotcha.
Ruben, great seeing you.
Stop ducking, D-Style.
Yeah, not too sure what D-Style did to get on his bad side, but I think I actually have some footage of that here, courtesy of FightHype.com.
I'm gonna make it short here, man. Because you know what? Me and my son, we're ready to go, and I want to thank everybody, Al Heyman, you know, everybody, we're playing this together. That's a short one.
I think we need the man to hear. Anyways, that was one of the great moments in father trainer boxing history right there. So, D, that was one of the great moments. You still there, D? I think you got the YouTube on in the background. There you go. So yeah, let's get into it. Explain again, D, why you think that Floyd Sr. should be considered on this list.
Oh, again, just because his work with his son. I mean, I know he had that lapse there in time, but he had a lot. I just feel like he had a lot to do. You said from the past and the present, right? The father trainers from the past and the present.
I had two lists. I'll put them back up. I had a list of the past and I had the list of the present. I'll put it up right here. So my past, for those that are just joining us now, okay, was number one, Jose Morales, son Eric Morales. Number two, Enzo Calzaghe, son Joe Calzaghe. Number three, Felix Trinidad Sr., all right, son Felix Trinidad Jr.
All right. Yeah.
Those are my top three from the past. And my
I actually agree with that.
Right? Yeah. And these are my honorable mentions right here. And so I got Eduardo Garcia, I've got Jack Mosley, I've got Yoel Judah. Judah actually trained multiple sons, not just Zab, so I felt I had to kind of put him on the list. And then this is my current list right here. I know a lot of people got Teofimo Lopez Sr. number one. I do give Chingo the edge because he's got two sons. One of them is great, and the other one also has fought in a world championship fight, his only loss being to Norbin Ubale at 118. No shame in that. And number three, I've got Anatoly Lomachenko. And those are my honorable mentions right there. I've got Nonito Donait Sr., Angel Garcia, Kenny Porter, and Gary Russell Jr. You think I'm leaving anybody off that list, D? Anybody I forget?
No. And but if you go back one to the top three current, I think, now Teofimo's my guy, but I wouldn't, like, Anatoly, I might put him number one, actually, right? Because he had a great deal to do with Oleksandr Usyk's success.
This is true.
As well as Lomachenko. And if you look at what both of these guys have accomplished in boxing, then you accredit that to Anatoly, which you would have to, because, you know, it wasn't too long ago he just stopped working with Oleksandr Usyk.
Yeah, in fact, I believe he actually also trained the entire Ukrainian Olympic team in boxing.
He was working with Vozdik.
Right.
Vozdik went on to be a champion. So when you look at that, like, Anatoly deserves a lot of credit. Look at all of those champions that he was involved with.
So Teo Media and Run PMC actually say that honorable mentions should go to Jose Benavidez Sr. for his work.
No.
Got to agree with that.
I don't, because discipline has to count. You got to do that's, you know, a lot of these coaches and trainers, that's why, you know, a good trainer just can't always train any fighter, because there's a certain bond and there's a certain team, you know, camaraderie you have to build. And that's part of your trainer's job, is being able to get through that guy, keep him disciplined. Like, Reynoso won't deal with it. You're not disciplined, you're getting the hell out of there. Well, Benavidez is disciplined. Discipline killed them both. So you train good fighters, they could fight, but you train good fighters that weren't disciplined. Discipline is a part of creating a good fighter, and both of them lack discipline. But that, for me, I couldn't put them there.
I can definitely see that argument. And speaking about discipline, we'll just quickly show one of the most disciplined guys
we go with,
in the sport right here. There's his father, the one and only Chingo Inoue. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but before this fight, he was actually had hands put on him by Rodriguez. And Inoue actually made Rodriguez pay dearly in this fight for putting his hands on his father. I think one thing, too, that Inoue doesn't benefit from, D. Jefferson, is the fact that even when he's fighting on channels like ESPN, the corner, they do go to him, but they don't really spend much time. You know, we don't really get to understand what he's saying if they don't have an interpreter, is what I'm trying to say. And the other thing, too, is he's usually putting so much damage on his opponents, thinking of the Maloney fight right now, that when there are moments between rounds, that the producers are focusing on corner work. It's usually on his opponents. But this here is one of the most disciplined fighters in the game and is one of my favorite fighters. And for those who say that he doesn't have much discipline, or sorry, much defensive discipline, I have to respectfully disagree.
Look at that.
He's got great in and out movement. You can see him timing his opponents.
His timing is impeccable. His punch placement is outstanding. Cool. His footwork
punch placement is outstanding. He just slipped the shot right there, too.
Weight transitions right on point. This dude is nice, bro.
Absolutely.
And he's worked exceptionally hard as well for this fight.
Look at that.
He's beaten a couple there. My goodness me, the speed and power of those punches from Inoue. And there's a right hand got in too from Inoue. This is a fearsome flurry. And he's
first time Rodriguez had been knocked out. And knocked down. And
twice.
Getting brutally knocked down twice in this fight and then stopped. And ooh, the body attack, they're just vicious.
He wasn't expecting it there. He wasn't expecting it there. He was like, nah, I can't do it, bro. Get your gloves up. Get your Inoue's
waiting. And here Inoue goes in for the kill and it's over. So, yeah, I mean, as much as I like Tito, I did give Calzaghe the edge on that one because of just the consecutive number of title fights. And I've got to give Enzo Calzaghe great credit for something. This guy had zero boxing ability in his own right and apparently just studied the sport, read as many books as he could, and used his skills as a jazz musician and converted them into the skills of a boxing trainer by focusing on things like timing and pacing and style. And I got to give him a lot of credit there too. So, yeah. So for those of you who missed earlier, D was saying that he feels that Floyd Mayweather Sr. should obviously be considered on this list. He wasn't on my list. Again, because. So go ahead, D. You want to correct what I'm saying? Go for it.
No, I want to correct what I was saying earlier because I hadn't seen the list. And I was looking at him from Fathers of the Past, not current, because the current list I like. And then you had honorable mentions as well, which I didn't see that. So for the past, I probably would put Senior as an honorable mention, but. No, I like the list that you have there. Very accomplished. And then, like, these guys. So the same thing that I was saying about discipline, right? When it comes to Floyd, that I think his asterisk or his mark would be his own discipline, right? Because you got to be that rock for your son, too. You got to be there for this dude's getting locked up and shit, you know, things outside of the ring. Well, things outside of the ring matter when you're a trainer because you're the guy who needs to be there for that fighter.
Yeah.
So you know, that's kind of a mark on Floyd Sr. because he had his own problems and turmoil, but even still it affected Floyd. Just so happened it affected Floyd in a positive way in the long run, but even still it affected him.
So let's transition, D, to something that you brought up earlier, which was news to me. You said that Bill Haney has decided to hand on training duties to somebody else.
Yeah, probably going to be Mickey Bay at this point, unless they go out searching. But he's stepping down from the training side of Devin Haney's situation. Not, you know, altogether. I'm pretty sure that he's still going to be his manager and that kind of stuff, you know. But just the training, Bill has other businesses he's involved with, and he said that he has his 11-year-old and his 6-year-old, you know, he wants to spend more time with them and so forth. And that frees up some of his time. And he was like, you know, he thanked his son for the 14-year run that they had, told him it was an amazing run. And he's an amazing kid, and he wish him all of the best of luck. But he's just going to pull back from training, the training part of the sport right now. So he's not going to be training him anymore.
I think that that's actually a good move for Haney to kind of go with another trainer at this point. I'm pretty sure that it's a move that one of his rivals at 135, Ryan Garcia, made. I just don't know whether it was Ryan that made that decision or his father, but I think at a certain point, a lot of fighters do kind of have to get away from their fathers and get someone with a different kind of experience, if not more experience, to train them. What are your thoughts about that, D?
Yeah, Ryan Garcia's father, he's a smart man. He understood right away, you don't take a chance away from your son to be with a good trainer like Reynoso. So I don't think it took much convincing to do with Ryan's father. But listen, Lennox Lewis said something really interesting about these types of situations. And he said it's all about the fighter, you know, because you can get these fighters where they need a system. They need to stay with a certain system. That's how they work. That's how they learn. But then you get some fighters that peak out with a certain trainer or a certain coach, and then they need more. They're like a sponge. They need to take in more. And taking in different styles and different instructions from different coaches helps them to be a best fighter. He said he never had problems changing trainers because he peaked out with trainers. So it's all about the fighter. So we never know. Maybe these kids peak out with their fathers and they need more instructions from a different angle. So it could be a gift or a curse. We just kind of got to see how it goes with the fighter. You know what I mean? Each individual.
What are your thoughts about how it went with Sugar Shane and Jack Mosley? I'm kind of torn between it because on the one hand, I kind of think you can argue that Shane's best years as a boxer were at lightweight in terms of when he was his most dominant, right? And that's when he was with Jack. And then Jack did get him to the De La Hoya win, right? So what are your thoughts on that one, D? And the chat. What are your thoughts, Chad, about that one too? Jack Mosley and Shane Mosley. And that's
great. You know, situations like that, Maestro, is to me is like, it's sort of an enigma, right? Because was it the style of training or was it the transition in weight?
Yeah.
And we never can really, you can't really finger that, right? So let's say that we could prove it one way or the other, right?
Right.
So I'll give you a scenario. So let's say that we could prove whether it was the transition or better yet, let me say it like this. Let's just say that we could prove that weight was the issue. So if we could prove that weight was the issue, then you would have to say that his dad was the better trainer because he had more success at the lighter weight. And we know that he only had less success because of the weight. Now, the fact that we cannot...
He looked unstoppable at 135.
Right. But the fact that we can't prove that it was the weight, like, who knows? Can you finger that? Could you really finger that? Because sometimes just the weight jump is too much, right? People bitch and moan about Marvin Hagler, but hey, he dominated where he was and he did it pretty well. Maybe he didn't need to move up. Maybe if he moved up, he would have got fucked up. We don't know. Right?
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know. And vice versa, we just don't know.
And it can also be relationships too, because obviously one of the greatest fighters of like my youth and childhood was Roy Jones Jr. And he started out under his father, right? But their relationship broke down and they went their separate ways.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Tyson, Customato. That's what I was saying, too, about the trainers. Like, okay, so like Customato, you know, you could put him, like if we want to say father, son, because he adopted Mike, right? So maybe he should go in because once Cus passed and got sick, Mike turned into a whole different animal. And that goes to what I was saying about the Benavides. Cus found a way to keep Mike disciplined.
which made all the difference in the world. Because look at what Mike turned to without Custom Model, right? So relationships definitely matter. It's how you connect and click with that trainer, that coach. You got to be, there's got to be some type of camaraderie, like Errol Spence and Derek James. They're not father son, but they have that camaraderie, that understanding. Errol Spence said for the first 2 years, well, Derek James said for the first 2 years, Spence didn't even talk to him. He would just listen to him in the ring, but they ain't have no, like, no social time. They wouldn't hang out, nothing. Spence wouldn't even talk to him. And I just found that funny as hell. But you grow that bond. You grow that connection with your trainer. So, and then some guys cannot perform well if that connection is severed. Some guys can move on from that connection and build another one and take in what they need to take in. You know what I mean?
It's absolutely. Just, and yeah. Speaking of performing well, I've got some great actually, no, that's not the footage I wanted to show. Let me get back to that one after. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, D, in terms of performing well. You do need a guy who's almost a father figure, whether he's your biological father or not. I mean, that's kind of the role that Emmanuel Stewart took on with all of his fighters, from way back to the Motor City Cobra all the way up to Lennox Lewis and Vladimir Klitschko. He was that father figure to people in the corner.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes you got to have it, man.
Yep.
Sometimes you got to have it.
So here's an example of a father giving some instructions in a really important fight. It's obviously the Lomachenko.
We have one round.
The Lomachenko fight with Lopez Jr.
To see who will be the undisputed champion.
This is for the win, bro. Okay? Play it smart.
Yeah.
Don't you let this
watch out, Beltline. You don't need a point deduction, okay? Last round, clean round.
Four rounds from Loma have been sheer will.
Interesting in their relationship, actually, that he calls his son bro a lot, but that's another story altogether. A little controversial here, too, in terms of the advice that he had given him going into that 12th round, but at the end of the day, his training of his son is obviously next level. He's taking his kid from the very beginnings to an undisputed world champ. And that's why he was on my number two. Well, where do you rank him, D?
Oh, I top three. I don't really. The guys that you had up there, this is a great, great, great list. Top three, no particular order. I wouldn't really care where those guys were set. Because just like I mentioned with your number three guy, Anatoly, like, you know, with Vozdik and Usyk and Ben Lomachenko as well, you know, all of those guys could be called number one. It's just spectacular that Teofimo, that Junior Lopez is just like what you mentioned before. He studied boxing. He studied and he came up with a vision and he created that with his son, you know? And he said that I was on live with him one day and we were talking and he, you know, the question came up is, would you take on another fighter? And he said, probably not really, because if they don't have what his son has, he wouldn't be sure how to train that.
He learned
what he did was he studied boxing. He studied the sweet science and he studied how his son move and what his son can do. And he devised training based on what his son could do. He said, so if it was a fighter similar to his son, yeah, he might think about taking on that project, but he only understands boxing based on what his son can do, which is totally understandable because he got into it to train his son, not to train other fighters. He said some things he wouldn't, you know, be sure on how to do it, like how to train them from day one, because he had, you know, he couldn't take a fighter from green and make them a champion. They would have to come with something already.
Yeah, it's also probably an admission that a big part of his training of his son is the fact that it's his son. And he knows that, guess what, your son's not going anywhere. Your son's probably going to listen to you more than someone who's not. So we got Drew Evo on. I'm going to add you to the stream right now, bro.
Hey, what's up?
Yep, can hear you loud and clear. What's up?
I'm chilling. I was just listening to this conversation about father and son doors and everything.
Yeah.
I thought the best thing Ryan Garcia's father could done is to get him another trainer, because Ryan's got a couple of weaknesses right now. And I think that if he would have stayed with his father, those weaknesses will still be there with Ryan. Like, he has the guy, he's the type of fighter to keep his chin out and open like a Amir Khan, and he's flat footed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bring him to Canelo's trainer, that made Canelo a better boxer, made him and let him bring that teaching to Ryan a little bit, hopefully you can bring out the bad habits of Ryan. It will work and everything, because those two habits are two of the baddest habits you can probably have in boxing. Always being flat-footed when you have fast hands and leaving your chin out, because you're always open to get hit, even countered.
Hey, Drew, you know what? I always hear a lot of people talk about this with Eddie Reynoso, and it's not that I don't disagree, but I want people to think about something here. Eddie Reynoso is not, I wouldn't say under fire, but at some level, some people question him too, because he's had high success with Canelo, right? And so think about this. Canelo is also flat-footed. It's because Canelo's upper body movement is so good. And Eddie Reynoso does train well in defense, but that footwork, they may need to get somebody in there to help them out with Ryan's footwork. Because, see, one thing about footwork is it's fundamental. It's one of these things that fighters learn this early and often, right? And then when fighters do get stuck in a habitual way of being flat-footed, you know, they have to adjust to boxing with that style. Being flat-footed is not a negative. A lot of people say, oh, he's flat-footed. That's not always a negative. Because, again, Canelo's flat-footed. However, he's one of the best boxers in the game. So yeah, you can be flat-footed, but it's a style that you have to adapt to if you're going to be a flat-footed fighter. And I believe that is more what they've got Ryan in there with Canelo, with Reynoso, because he is a flat-footed fighter. That we agree on. But they're going to have to do something about this kid. Just maybe short, faint head movement side to side to get off center line and tuck in that chin. Him being flat footed may not be the worst thing, because he's fast, right? So these two, remember, flat footed doesn't mean a negative fighter. He has attributes and he has length and things that he can do to adjust to being flat footed to make him a phenomenal fighter anyhow. And I think that's why they stuck him in there with Reynoso. And again, I'm not disagreeing with you, brother. It's just that I often hear people speak of Reynoso and they talk about Ryan's footwork. And that's not the route that they're going to have to take with Reynoso, because I don't think he's been a lights out trainer when it comes to footwork per se.
I do agree with that. And Drew, there's a guy out of your hometown also with a father trainer in Danny Garcia, who fought effectively as a flat-footed fighter, because he sits down on his punches.
Right.
I think the problem, and you've identified it, Drew, with Garcia being flat-footed, is that you cannot be flat-footed and also box defensively the way he does with his chin way up in the air. If you're going to be flat-footed, you need to have your chin down. You need to fight from a solid, balanced base, right? And you've got to be really, really cautious about your defense. And in terms of footwork, D, you're absolutely right. You know, obviously one of the great schools of boxing is the Cuban school of boxing. And what they focus on for like the first year, sometimes more, when they're training the kids, is defensive footwork. I wanted to quickly put up someone who I didn't mention, and I should have, as a father trainer, and that is Ali Salam, Tony Harrison's father, and RIP, because he passed away this year of COVID.
Yeah. Tony Harrison was a beautiful boxer, man. People didn't give him credit for that. He didn't have the best chin, but, man, he could box. Tony could box, man. That's why I give Jermell Charlo so much credit.
Oh, absolutely, for beating him. That was not an easy win at all. Far from an easy win.
Tony counters good. He's got good footwork. He just don't have the best chin. This was a very valid win for Jermell Charlo. And then to come back and become a two-time champion, oh, man, that's good stuff.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, who's your top pick, Drew? I never asked. In terms of your number one father trainer in the sport and from the past eras as well.
Well, you can, to me, like, there's a couple, like, you know, Sugar Shane and Jack Mosley, you can pick. Mm-hmm. Maybe Lomachenko, the Lomachenkos.
Yeah, Anatoly, yeah.
Another one you could say is Joe and Enzo Kazagi.
Yep.
Yeah,
too.
But, you know, like, they were always good together. And, but, like, tell you the truth, right now, I don't really have a clear-cut favorite, to tell you the truth, because
yeah,
as long as they can stay, as they can stay together, and like Teofimo's and his dad staying together and everything, and they continue to win fights the way they've been winning fights and everything, they could be a case for being the best father-son duo.
Yeah.
But it's all about this. Lomachenko's dad for being trainer of the year, like, that's a European style. And, like, that's one of my favorite styles in boxing, is the European style. Because it's so, like, sound boxing and everything. But fence and everything, it could be boring and everything. If
I think we're losing you there, Drew. I think Drew's got a bad
connection issue.
Yeah, bad connection. But yeah, we're getting close to six. So if we don't get any more calls, we've kind of gone through all of the comments in the chats. D's given his opinion. He's given his list, which sounded like it was pretty similar to my list. But then also you brought up something really important, D, which is just the role of a father figure in general as it relates to training fighters. Anything else you want to add, or any other thing that's come up today in news that we may have missed in boxing?
Not that I can think of. I don't know if you know Richard Comey and Jackson Marinas, the guy who got robbed by Rolly Romero. They're going to be on that Joe Smith Lazop. That's turning out to be a pretty good card. They're going to be on that card. Also, Jared Anderson is fighting Kingsley Abe on that card. So that card is stacking up to be a really nice card.
Good fight.
That's a nice card already, man, because you got the Joe Smith fight, which Jared Anderson, I'm really looking forward to seeing this kid, because I think he's the American light in the heavyweight division. And then Richard Comey and his return against Jackson Marina. So pretty good card already, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, D. Really appreciate you jumping on, always, and giving your very, very insightful perspective on all things boxing. I want to thank everyone that popped on today in the chat. I see that Outlaws there with us. We got the GOAT, LT, my man Dave Duenes, Philly, who jumped on with us, Drew Evo, Rum PMC, G Funky, Santeo Media, Puerto Rican Rum, Nopal as always, and my apologies if I'm missing anyone else.
Andre Rodriguez.
Oh, my man Andre Rodriguez was there too. Did I miss him?
Nah, he was, you know how it stalls out on StreamYard. They put it in the chat and then it'll come up later, yeah.
Got it. Well, thank you for joining in too, Andre, and you can run it back to catch the discussion that you may have missed. I want to ask everyone to tune in tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on D-Style's channel. We've got the Leave It in the Ring, a roundtable, and that's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
D-Style's got a couple hot topics for us to discuss. And I don't know, you going to be jumping onto that, D, tomorrow?
Yeah, he asked me to come through, so I'm going to join you guys. I like that discussion. I like these discussions, man, because my panel is a little wild style. You know what I mean? So I like to have reasonable discussions because it gets kind of wild on my panel sometimes.
There you go.
It's a change of scene. Oh, change
you know
of
who
scene.
We forgot? We forgot to thank someone who actually made a really special appearance. And let's give him a little bit more run here because we had the one and only.
Oh, yeah.
Ruben Guerrero show up.
You're gonna be quiet in the corner, this guy, man. Everybody's gonna see it, man. You're gonna see it. You, Robert Guerrero, because he's a big mouth. He does his talk. He's like a penguin. He talks like a woman. That's all he does. Right?
And those are two of the characters in our sport, two of the father trainer characters. We could have actually shown just a whole hour of Angel Garcia stuff alone.
Oh, yeah.
His stuff on immigration or his pro-Trump stuff or his rants at Keith Thurman right here in New York at the Barclays Center. That one was pretty epic. But, yeah, thanks again, everyone. We'll be back Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Sorry, 2 p.m. Pacific. And I'll be on with D tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Thank you very much. And wishing everyone a great rest of your Wednesday. What up, my man? Thank you for jumping on, bro.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Sorry.